right, so I hope it doesn't go by itself, but I'm a fast talker, so I'll try to slow down. Thank you so much for joining me today on my presentation, Capacity Building from the Inside Out, adapting a module from the CIT, Human Subjects Ethics Training, for community researchers, Alaskan Native American Indian community researchers. And my co-investigators are here with me today, Myra Parker and Celia Fisher. And Claudia is not here today, but I first want to acknowledge the indigenous people of Boston Harbor, whose lands that we're on today. And I'd also like to state that I have no financial relationships to disclose. And in today's presentation, I'm going to share with you kind of the process and the results for a study from the Fordham University Research Ethics Training Institute Fellowship that I conducted using a community engaged research approach to adapt a module from the CITI training from a Pacific Northwest tribal perspective. And then I'll share the findings from the evaluation that we did when we evaluated the adapted version compared to the standard version. So first, a little background. There are 566 federally recognized tribes across the United States, and they have sovereign status. And what that means is, just like China or Mozambique, they have the inherent authority to govern not only what happens on their land, but that it also includes the research. And then given a history of research analysis where there's been tribal stigmatization, irrelevant, inappropriate, or just disrespectful research that has really kind of created a sense of mistrust and kind of damaged the viability of research in Indian country, American Indian and Alaska Native community members are expecting and actually are engaged in the research process. And by that, it's not just being a CAB member that provides advice. They're actually recruiting participants, they're reviewing protocols, they're looking at raw data. And as such, they join investigators in the obligation, or I should say scientific or academic investigators, because I see them as researchers as well, as their community researchers, but they join academic researchers in the obligation to ensure human subjects, the highest standards of human subjects protections are met. And then that also obliges us to make sure that there are accessible and culturally responsive human subjects training curriculum out there for community members. Our experience working with these communities is I would have them take the CIT human subjects training, but it could take up to 15 hours, a number of days, sitting there and going through it. And then if you ask them what they got out of it, they got very little. It was more done perfunctory because it was a requirement that we had them do to be engaged in the research process. So that kind of really defeated the purpose. So the hypothesis for this study was, as compared to American Indian and Alaskan community members taking the standard CITI assessing risk and benefit training module, American Indian and Alaska Natives taking the culturally adapted CITI training curriculum would report that the module had more relevance, was more helpful in understanding the human subjects research process. It would also report higher confidence in their ability to contribute to the research process and better comprehension of the core components. We took in our study design. Our adaption process actually went through a number of steps itself. We identified three expert panels, and I'll talk about those in just a moment. First, Myra and I took the modules, and we broke them down to their very finest components, and we mapped them onto the Code of Federal Regulations Subpart A for human subjects research. We then tapped into our networks and identified three panels, and then we fine-tuned the end result, and Celia Fisher happened to help with that as well. And then we conducted a parallel randomized controlled trial among 40 American and Alaska Native community members of the adapted and standard version, and then that was followed with debriefing interviews. So our panel members, the first panel was tribal members. These were people in the community that were health and wellness program directors or advisory members on research projects. So they were already conducting research and providing oversight of research in their communities. Many of them have also already taken the CITI training. Their role first was to identify, so what Myra, Celia, and I did was we identified kind of the core elements of the CITI modules. There's 13 required modules. These three, inform consent, assessing risk and benefits, and privacy and confidentiality, were kind of the three that ran through all 13 of them. So from that, they identified the assessing risk and benefit module as the most pertinent and had the most critical gaps that they felt were missing as it pertained to concerns that they had of ethical research in their communities. And then they provided content and examples. They kind of took the whole module and they went through step by step and ripped it apart. And then from that, we incorporated their comments, and then we took it to a panel of academic and research institute scientists. These were indigenous scholars or scholars that have been working in indigenous communities for a long period of time. They reviewed it and also provided more examples as it pertained to ethical concerns that they had actually faced in the field. And then finally, we went through the policy analyst, ethicist, and IRB health board administrators who also provided the face validity of the changes that we had made and a few more examples to that. And then throughout each process, everybody reviewed it and then gave us feedback, and then we revised it. The all panels were done via webinar. We thought that was pretty good. There were some kinks that we've worked out later, but it's getting better, and there were follow-up and emails. So what changes did we make? Just this little overview, we categorized it. We pretty much changed 90% of the whole CITI module. If you use track changes, there were very little black left of that thing. So to focused on the topic relevant to American Indian Alaska Native. So what are the ethical issues salient to these communities? And then we clarified some of the concepts. We moved a lot of the jargon, the language, and then we actually provided examples reflective of events. So rather than the CIT has examples about events happening in a lab setting, we took it out of the lab setting and we put it into a community environment. And then most importantly is we added concepts of community protection throughout the entire module, and that was completely missing. So just briefly, I'm going to provide some of the examples. If you're going to be at Primer next week, I go into these examples a lot more because I have a little more time. But under the area of invasion of privacy, they talked about tribal identifiers being revealed. And this was done on a number of levels. So it could be if you're going and you're reporting, well, you conducted a research with the largest tribe in the state of Washington, that's pretty identifiable. You could figure that out quite readily. So it's not just naming a tribe, it's actually those identifiers. So if you think about the individual, if you say female who has HIV in a small community, you're pretty much going to identify her. So you have to think about that at the tribal or community level as well. Another incident came about, well, actually using publicly available data. So in this example, there was a researcher doing a community intervention in a tribal community, and they needed a control group. So they took publicly available information, and they used that as their control data. They delivered the intervention. They reduced the outcome that they wanted to in the one community, but when they reported it out and they wrote up the report, they named both tribal communities. So that one tribe who had no idea they were even a part of this research process became part of it. And it was published in a local newspaper, and they were neighboring tribes. So being aware of these things. So this is what the examples that we were pulling in. Some other things were breach of confidentiality. This actually refers to the incident with the Havasupai and the Arizona State University, where data was misappropriated or misused. There was another example too, where there was a archaeologist that went up, and they had permissions to do some digging on tribal lands. But what they did is they took in they went up to a cave and they took some remains without really getting permission or getting clarification from the tribe. And what was terrible about it was these weren't old remains. It was actually the woman had just buried her husband like a couple of decades ago or a decade ago, and she actually saw them carrying it out, her husband remains out. So really having the community involved in every step of the process is extremely important, because if you're an outsider, you really don't know what the community has and what you're accessing. The other things pertaining to study procedures and methods. In this example, there was a researcher that was wanting to find out, there's a building outside of reservation land, and they wanted to turn it into an elders facility. And so what they did is they invited elders from the reservation to do in-depth interviews or focus groups into this building, but what they didn't know was that building was actually a boarding school where numerous atrocities have taken place. And the invitations alone of bringing these elders into this facility where they had once experienced these atrocities created a lot of distress throughout the community. So again, having that community of involvement and overview, and I think we talked about a little bit about some of your examples, is just bringing community in, because as a researcher, you don't know what the risks are within a particular community. So for the procedures for the randomized controlled trial, we tapped into our expert panels who sent out flyers and information sheets. They potential participants called. We conducted a screening, oral consent was done over the phone, and then they were also followed up with an information sheet. They were provided with a link to the CITI website, so we worked closely with CITI on this. And their link and the instructions instructed them either you go to Module A or to Module B for whatever they were randomized to. And then at the end of the interview, we followed up with a debriefing interview within a couple of days. So our study population was about 40 American Indian Alaska Native community members from the Pacific Northwest, 18 years or older. They were either working on a research project in their community or interested in conducting research, and they had not taken any of the human subject certification training courses, and then of course have email and access. Let's see, the measures that we used. So the module, at the end of the module, they had 5 original CIT questions. We kept those, and then we added 4 more. And the 4 that we added that could pertain to identifying individual as well as community risk, balancing risk and benefits, any cultural concerns, and then after they finished those, they were linked into another set of, 10-minute survey that really looked at the acceptability scales such as relevance, self-efficacy, and satisfaction. And then the debriefing interviews consisted of difficult or confusing topics or language. For some, we were actually able to send them back the module where the debriefing interviews took place, and they can look at each section and said, well, what did you think about this? Was there anything confusing? Was their language not right? Were we missing something? What did you like? What did you not like? Et cetera. Data analysis was just simply a difference between the two groups. We had enough power, 80% power, to detect a difference of 0.15. And for the debriefing interviews, the coder agreement between Myra and I was actually 0.92. And we looked at overall positive and negative responses, relevance of the material presented, self-efficacy, any technical problems that they encountered, and the readability and challenges and any implications behind that. So looking at the results, there were no difference in the demographics of our respondents, and then their research interest, these categories are not mutually exclusive, and environmental health was the highest, followed by obesity and substance use. So looking at the acceptability, relevance across the scale, there was highly significant difference with the adaptive module having higher scores for relevance than the standard module. And similarly, we see this with satisfaction. Here too, the people were more satisfied with the adapted version. And self-efficacy, there was just a trend for the overall scale, and then looking at the particular item with reviewing research design, there was this significant difference there, less so with assessing consent form and recommendation for ensuring consent, which makes a little sense too, because this was about adapting risk and, or assessing risk and benefits as opposed to assessing consent forms. So some of the debriefing responses, this is for the adapted version. They were really excited about it. One person says, I'm ready to jump in research next year, and I'm really glad I did this. So just saying something that could really resonate. One person felt like this would be very good for non-Indigenous researchers to take or coming into their communities. They felt that it would be good for them to do the training. People coming out don't know about the sensitivity of elders and the damage they could be doing. Researchers are wanting to do something good, but they could cause harm unintentionally. And then, just a compliment, they really liked what we did. That one up. The original version, now recall this is a RCT, so they don't know whether they got the original one or they got the adapted, but it was sort of sweet because they were trying to help us, kind of tell us what we were doing wrong, that it was really missing something, but done very kindly, because they really wanted this to work, but the original wasn't. So, and the one person said it just didn't go into depth that it needed. It was like giving somebody water, but none of the Kool-Aid mix. So it just didn't really have it there. And then also stating none of the pictures made sense. Across both modules, people talked about the logging into CITI was extremely difficult. Sometimes it took them as long to log into the CITI website and get to the module as it did to actually take the module. So there'll definitely have to be some work there as far as rolling it out into communities. So this is the comprehension, the overall quiz score, total score of all 9 items. The adapted version fell better. When you looked at just the original 5 quiz, there was just a trend, which is good. It says a lot to say about CITI. It does hold true, but not quite. And then, of course, the 4 new items fared better, but that was because, too, they looked at the community-level risk, which wasn't even at all identified in the CITI. So it could be a little biased there. For the discussion, the adapted module definitely had higher quiz scores, relevance, satisfaction, and self-efficacy in reviewing research protocols. There was an overwhelming positive response across the board. We're still getting calls about when is this going to roll out. The National Congress of American Indians just contacted me the other day, and they were like, where is it? We were ready to start promoting it. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's only one module. You know, that's the next step. Yeah, so I think that's actually part of the limitation, is it is only one module from a Pacific Northwest tribal perspective, and really thinking about the importance of rolling this out of something that could be used across the United States and capturing kind of the diversity and how we're going to make that happen. There's lots of discussions to figure out that one, but we're definitely have the support of the community across the United States. We've been getting a lot of calls and contacts on this, and we do need to improve the readability. That was another drawback. It was still kind of too jargony, and then the technical difficulties logging into the model. And then finally, in conclusion, an adapted training module is really important, and I think, you know, our other presenters actually mentioned this as well, having that community feedback, and especially when communities are becoming more and more involved in the research process, having them trained in the ethical conduct of research is extremely important, but that can't be just something off the rack that doesn't resonate, because you want them to take a training that they're going to be able to bring back to you. It makes our research, it makes their research, it makes research in general so much stronger when we have our community partners sitting at that table. And then finally, I want to acknowledge Fordham University, of course, for their funding and the absolutely excellent mentorship that they have given over the last 3 years. And I highly, highly recommend this fellowship to anybody who has any interest in learning more about ethics and doing good research, and as well as my institute. Thank you.
Very unique. You usually don't think about it in that way. And so to have This is really nice, and it's actually really encouraging to see that city can actually be adjusted to something more applicable, and that resonates more, more loudly with different communities. It's really a tough training to get through.
Mm-hmm. I think that, well, it has to be more than a module.
Right.
It really needs to be the whole, because you want it to have credibility as a certification training. And my initial budget is $300,000, $350,000, because I've worked that out, and I'm hoping for 3 years. But then you also bring up another question, and that is, that gets pretty expensive if you're going to start doing it for each and every little community. And if you think about just from the 566 federally recognized tribes across the United States, that is not feasible. So can you actually start identifying the core ethical concerns across a group? And I think then for $300,000, $350,000, that is very, I think it becomes a responsibility on our part to do that. So if you think about the Latina or Hispanic cultures, or for Philippines, or for these other countries that we're going to, I think that's an obligation that we should seriously consider. Because for $350,000 to ensure good research, and it's not just good ethical research, but good ethical research also produces good overall